This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gradham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
Podcast time. What's going on? This is episode 123.
Sounds right.
Good stuff here.
We have a special guest because Ray's late, as always. And it's a woman, and she just said, and this is a direct quote, she was talking about the podcast. She said, the last time we did it, it was on a bed in a hotel room. Who are we referring to by this? It's her second time on the podcast, I believe. Welcome to my wife. Hi. Katie's here.
Woohoo.
Hey, Katie.
Yes.
So that time that Mark was on the way to the airport to pick you up with your dad.
Really?
You mean the time he told me I should cream my shorts? That was the direct quote he used.
What are you talking?
He said, like, he was telling me there are alternatives to having sex with his daughter, and one of those was to cream my shorts, which is old man slang for jerk it. Welcome to the podcast. We're not even a minute in. This is what we do.
We're a minute and 3 seconds in.
Jay Burke is so pissed right now already.
Don't count the intro. Don't you get cracked up by that, though. It's April 20th.
Yeah.
We've had 123 episodes of this.
Yeah.
And there's still people who click on it and think that we're going to be breaking down the X's and O's of the NBA playoffs.
It's suddenly drastically different overnight. No. You got there's lots of other stuff.
No, I agree
you can listen
that
to.
Certain times we probably cross lines,
like already today.
Yeah, like already today. But the entire point of it is, if you wanted that podcast, I believe Gray and Jared,
that Two Shades of Gray stuff they put
been
out there,
doing an in-depth breakdown of Iowa State's basketball recruiting.
Yep.
All morning.
Yep.
So. Whatever.
And that gets some people riled up. That's good.
Yeah, no, we set up our podcast here on this site, so there's something for everybody.
Exactly.
If that's your type of deal, then you've got that.
So I was not invited to Sy's House of Trivia.
Oh, yeah. But you were there. You were there.
With your team, because I guess I'm not good enough for you.
I wasn't there either, if it makes you feel better.
But I wasn't there. But I had two people come up to me and say they really enjoyed the podcast.
She hates it, by the way, when people say that, because she just thinks it's an ego builder for
me.
Yeah.
Well, it kind of is. Well, I mean, let's be honest.
Do you want to correct, by the way, the version that I put out last week, which apparently was not true, that our good friend Lawrence Cunningham mouth-kissed you at Sy's House of Trivia?
No, that didn't happen.
Well, you told me I was wrong.
No,
so what actually happened?
No, why it was so uncomfortable that you brought up that conversation is because we never acknowledged that actually happened. And so the
so
first time
you did
mouth-kiss
him, it just didn't stop with, like, we just mouth-kissed. That's what you're telling me.
It was just like we – yeah. I don't know. It was just it wasn't mouth. It was a side.
Was there lip-to-lip contact of any type?
A little bit, but not like a mouth kiss. There's a difference between a mouth kiss and like a side.
Williams, if your lips touch another woman's lips, have you kissed her on the mouth?
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Barely.
What are we even
like
talking
right
about here?
It's not, okay. No. I don't know why you're so sense.
Well, I mean,
are you upset
really?
Because his wife is pregnant? She's going to be upset by this?
No, it's the fact that it was never, like, talked about. It was just like, oh, that was awkward. Okay, let's move on and never bring that up again.
What's the most difficult part of being married to Mark?
Like, him exaggerating stories on the podcast.
Really? Like, of he all does, the things, that's the most difficult part of being married to Mark?
Probably not. There's a lot of stuff that's difficult.
Constantly having to stop for autographs. She hates that.
I mean, really. Yeah. You are such a big deal.
Yeah. I don't know. There's probably no bad parts to being married to me.
Well.
Like you would say.
Well.
I don't know. What's the worst part about being married to you? What would your wife say?
A lot of things.
Like, you've claimed you're very neurotic. Would that be it?
Oh, man, I'm crazy.
Like, you're all over the map.
I'm crazy.
Does she hate that?
Oh, yeah. I think I've told you guys, when she was pregnant, I, like, went crazy.
Like, I went crazy, like, 2 days after my wife gave birth for the first time.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you do?
No, I didn't, I used the term crazy very loosely. I just, I mentally checked out. I didn't want to be part of the scene. That's what
I did. He was stressed.
For like 2 days. Like a first-time father, I'm sure there's other people out there that can relate to this at least a little bit. You realize, like, boom, my life has now changed for the rest of my life. I am now responsible for this human being. And it's a lot of pressure, man. You don't know what you're doing the first time.
Yeah.
You feel a little bit helpless.
And generally, neither does the mom. Like, everybody's kind of just scrambling.
I literally checked out. I mean, I was there. I was physically present, but I wasn't emotionally present or mentally present. And I think she went somewhere, like, and this lasted a couple days. She would say it's longer. It was a couple days, and she said she was leaving or something. Not leaving me, but leaving the house. She's like, I gotta go somewhere here, and, like, handed me my son Seton. So I got like 2 hours. It was just me and him hanging out, and after that time I was fine. Like, I got one-on-one time with him. I gotta hold him, I gotta cuddle him, yeah. I gotta do all that stuff. And after that I'm like, all right, buddy, I got this.
Mine was the 9 months.
Yeah.
Like, because it took us a really long time for her to get pregnant.
Yeah.
And we didn't really ever think we were ever going to get to have a kid. And, like we wanted it really bad. And I don't know, like, what happened to me, but I kept thinking I was going to die.
Like, stress of
The anxiety issues that I have in general.
You're saying triggered. When she was 9 months pregnant? This occurred?
No, the whole 9 months.
All 9 months.
Mark,
okay.
I had like self, I'm not kidding, like I had self-diagnosed myself with every form of cancer.
That's always positive.
And that you can imagine.
Did you WebMD stuff?
Oh,
yeah,
dude, my doctor, Doc Nicholson there at the Iowa Clinic.
Yeah.
I mean, we can like joke about it now, but at the time he had to be going home to his wife and be like, man, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
He's bleeping crazy.
Don't WebMD stuff, by the way.
I give him myself testicular cancer, brain cancer, stomach cancer, all kinds of cancer.
Like, you feel one twinge somewhere and you're like, that's cancer.
Yeah, I'm dead.
It's gotta be cancer.
Katie, do you have any, anything you want to get off your chest before you?
Don't go there. Do we really have to use the word chest?
Like,
I can see Mark
like,
looking at my
chest. She does. It's called a reduction.
So, like, stuff like that.
Stuff like
thanks
that.
For coming, Gray.
We need to not have that.
What
happen?
About when Mark takes, like, really controversial takes to Facebook just to get people riled up?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with Mark in general is he's kind of misunderstood, which is... which is pretty funny he's misunderstood because he says every opinion out loud.
He is misunderstood.
So I think people don't understand that that's really who he is. Half the time they're like, no, really, what is Mark Charter like? Like, what's he like?
Well, hey, you know you're going to get the truth like. When you come
well,
to
Well, that's my, the whole deal. Like, Mark, you know this, in marketing you get BS so much.
Sure. Sure.
Like, people, they'll string you on. And, like, I mean, I could write a book about this.
Yeah.
I do appreciate people who just give you their real opinion. Now,
but
there's
the
a time and a place,
is
and sometimes you cross that line, I feel like. But you'll also admit it.
Granted.
He has no boundaries, always. You have to tell him where the boundary is.
If there's a reason, though, that I've been successful in real estate, it's that I don't BS. I mean, that's a strength. You know, people hate it when agents lie to them about stuff, so it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's got a lot of rumors about him. And
what do you mean rumors about him?
Just
most of them are true.
people, you know, have made up stuff to me or told me stuff about him or whatever, and that gets a little old after a while.
She's like, I heard this. I'm like, no.
Are you concerned?
Does this really happen?
Are you concerned about the massage parlor next to the real estate office?
No, I'm honestly, that concerns me. You guys joke about it, but I'm like, I really hope that there's not like human trafficking going on.
Oh, there definitely is.
That part stresses me out. I don't care if a random dude goes in there.
Yeah, it's gross.
Oh man, I didn't think
other stuff.
Yeah, I didn't even
because we're on the interstate, so it bothers me.
You didn't
think
about the human trafficking element?
Yeah, that's the part I don't like.
No.
So I want him to shut down.
You think those girls over there love their job and are willingly doing it?
No.
I wouldn't go that far. Anyway, well, we've talked about all sorts of things.
This is depressing.
Do you need to say anything before we
give
your mic to Gray? Then we can get his hot basketball takes.
Because you're going to get some sports talk. It's way better.
Bye, Katie.
I miss Adam. I spent a whole week
You
with
did.
Him.
You spent some quality time
I mean,
with
really,
him.
I was like on a...
How was Mexico for you?
It was a dude trip that I was hanging out on, I think.
By the way, last week I did not embellish at all when I was talking about that couple that was... and the wife that was...
I thought we weren't supposed to talk about this.
We can talk about that part of it.
I thought the whole Mexico thing we aren't supposed to talk about.
No, that's not true at all.
No, that couple had a lot of issues that they need to probably go to therapy about, and then they'll be okay.
They had some major issues, that's for sure.
But it's fine.
What we did learn...
I feel like the larger you're in Adam's like group of friends get, the more censored the podcast becomes.
I would agree that we definitely have some friends out there that don't want to be talked about on this thing. That's
I'm gonna
for sure.
I'm going to hand it over to Adam so we can actually have a take on this.
All right. Yeah, I think that we've gotten – well, here's the thing. We've gotten in trouble a couple times recently in our friend group, but it was in both instances when we were getting in trouble, though, they hadn't even listened to it yet. It's like you got to listen to it before you yell at us, and then if you want to yell at us, that's fine. But I don't know. Gray, of course, never gets in trouble with anybody. He's
What's up,
perfect.
Ladies?
Where you been?
I was recording a podcast at the office.
Oh, okay. How was that? I'm sure it was riveting.
It was good. Rob and I argued for 20 minutes about why Iowa State should not be scheduling Iowa anymore and should schedule three of the most patty cake teams
around.
That's
stupid. You got to schedule Iowa. It's a big deal for everybody.
Adam, we've all heard your take on this 60 times.
That's a terrible take.
If you
Charter.
Just gave it on another
podcast.
It's
not. It's the – are you talking football, I assume, right?
No, I'm talking hockey. Of course I'm talking football.
It is, I don't care what any of you guys say. It's the highlight of – Iowa State's season. It might not be Iowa's highlight, but it's the highlight of ours. Who's coming in? Oklahoma? You're saying our fans get more up for Oklahoma? No. They get more up for any other Big 12 team to come in? No.
Charter,
I mean, it's a big deal.
Charter, you want to know the cold hard truth, and Cyclone fans won't like this. You know why it's the highlight of our year? Because we freaking suck every year. If Iowa State won 6 and 7 games and went to a bowl game, would it be the highlight of our year? No. So schedule three good easy wins, go 3-0, go to a bowl game, and the Iowa game's irrelevant. Boom, roasted. Let's go. What are we talking about now?
Roasted. I don't know. I disagree. Rivalries are a good thing in sports. And it's a rivalry. It's become one. It didn't used to be. When I was growing up, it wasn't a rivalry. 15 in a row, 16 in a row, whatever.
15 and 10 in the last 20, I think.
But it's a rivalry now. Nobody can dispute that part, so it's good.
Wins are more important.
If you want to debate something else, the one that I was debating on Facebook recently was or was he not is the name of this game. Aaron Hernandez, was he convicted of murder?
Yes. He was not.
I know. I don't care what the technicalities say.
I'm just saying he was not.
The living man was convicted of murder.
It's a lot like vacated wins in sports.
That's great.
It is.
Reggie Bush.
It is.
He did win a national title.
Did Reggie Bush win the Heisman or did he not win the Heisman?
Yes, he absolutely did. We saw it.
Okay. If you go and Google right now Heisman winners, is he on that list?
Depends.
Probably not. If you go to the state of Connecticut or wherever that trial was and look up convicted murderers, is he on that list? Nope. That's my point. The interesting sports angle, did you see this part of it? Because people say, who cares? He's dead. He was convicted. He wasn't. Doesn't make a difference, etc. But it might. Did you see, I was reading this last night, the Patriots might now be on the hook for about $5 million to pay his estate. Because they owed him 2.5 for a signing bonus and 3.5 for contract,
but they're
or something
able to
like
get
that.
Out of it because of
and they got out of it because he broke the collective bargaining agreement by
because
being convicted of murder
says,
and all of that stuff, right?
It says in the thou shalt not kill. Okay,
yeah, something to that effect. Now that that conviction is gone, his lawyers are likely going to go after the Patriots and say, you owe that money to his estate. Would you agree?
What are you eating M&M's for into the microphone?
They're peanut butter M&M's.
So should the Patriots, by the letter of their contract, be obligated to pay that money?
I'm sure that those crooked lawyers will find a way.
You know,
they shouldn't.
And in this case, it would go to, I believe he had a wife, but it would go to his daughter and, you know.
I don't know. The Patriots have a lot of money. Give the daughter. The daughter's going to have a tough upbringing anyway with what her dad went through. Give her the money.
Give her the dough and end it.
Yeah, just be like, oh, here's $3 million just because.
Yeah.
Just because your dad drug our franchise through the mud the last
years. Like the Patriots, hands are clean. That's the dirtiest franchise in sports. All they do is cheat.
You're comparing deflating footballs with murder right now, just so you know. I'm just letting you know that that's the route you're taking with this argument.
I'm just telling you, they're not
alleged murder. He was never convicted.
Yeah, he was never convicted
of it. This is a great bar argument because people, you're going to be on one side of the fence or the other on this. You know, it's like he was convicted of murder. I saw it. It happened in court. No, it didn't. Didn't happen.
Yes, so, it did.
It happened.
And it didn't.
It did.
It absolutely happened, and they should not have to give him any money or his family any money.
What about the kids, man?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not the kids' fault that their dad's a terrible human being.
If just any guy's a random bad human being, like some corporation should have to give his kids $2 million because of it?
Seems fair. That's what Bernie Sanders
would
like.
He allegedly did it. We don't know for sure.
Yeah. I do think, because I had never heard of this abatement rule until now, and not that a lot of prisoners are reading the news, but I wonder if there'll be a little bit of an uptick on suicides during the appeals process as people want to get that record expunged before they're dead.
Oh.
Could be.
I doubt it.
Could be.
I don't think that a lot of people in that position are thinking that.
I just heard this morning, by the way, he had a Bible verse written on his forehead.
It's John 3:16, wasn't it?
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't read the verse.
Wasn't it in blood?
God, I don't know. I don't know.
I swear I read that it was in blood.
I don't know. I guess that's some type of suicide note then. I'm surprised. Don't you think they're supposed to watch their prisoners?
You know, when I think Aaron Hernandez, I think of a man who's really locked into the New Testament. Come on.
What
a joke.
I did not hear the verse, but that would be a fitting one, I guess. Yeah. So anyway, what else? Other than suicide, what else is going on, fellas?
Let's have some fun here.
You know? That's too dark for the podcast.
You started it.
Yeah, my bad.
Okay, we already talked to your wife. Now Gray's here, and we talked about Aaron Hernandez committing suicide. That's a pretty complete show.
All right.
We'll
see you guys next week.
15 minutes so far.
I'm fried today. Like, I just don't want to be here. No offense to you guys.
Do you ever watch Breaking Bad?
Every episode.
Don't you think he looks a little bit like him now with the shaved head and the kind of the goatee look a little bit?
I like goatee.
You're saying he looks like Bryan Cranston? Is that what you're saying?
The meth guy?
Yeah, you look like a meth guy.
Walter White.
You look like Walter White. That's it.
Or Heisenberg. That was his alias.
I watched one episode of that show and quit.
I'm on season 3 right now. It's a good show.
I would encourage you, because did you try to watch it originally? Were you telling me that?
Yeah, I tried watching it with the wife. We got like the third episode in when the acid
threw the bathtub incident.
And she said, no, I'm out.
So
my wife was out about 30 minutes into
Chris, I'm with the same boat here, so hear me out here, because I did exactly what you did. I'm not a big fan of shows having to do with drugs. I'm just not.
Yeah, it's
not
my thing,
right? It's not my thing either. I typically I think about movies like Trainspotting and Heroin and it's just, I don't like it. It's not my thing.
I love meth, yeah.
So I started watching that show and I probably got 2 episodes in. I'm like, this show sucks. I'm done. And waited a year or more probably before, for whatever reason, I gave it another try. And I think with any show, any new show, you've got to go 3-4 episodes deep, because those first episodes are character development. They're telling you who these people are. So sometimes it moves slow.
Right. Yeah.
Because you got to learn something about these people.
It's just
people
like reading a book. Usually the first 2 or 3 chapters suck and then it picks up.
Yeah, but think about that. Then when you get into chapter 10, you don't want to put it down,
correct,
right? Okay,
absolutely.
Well, that's what happens with Breaking Bad. And not only can you go down that rabbit hole with Breaking Bad, but then what they did is take a character from Breaking Bad, go way back in time before Breaking Bad happens on TV, and created Better Call Saul, which is on now in season 2. And the same writers, same place, same everything.
So I didn't know that.
So if you like Breaking Bad and go, crap, it's done, I'm ticked off now because I liked it so much, you go back and you get more of it with a brand new series, with a brand new perspective, and a lot of the same characters. So it's really cool.
If I were going to spend a lot of time, I would probably be working on catching up with the Thrones. I'm like, what season are they on with that?
Game of Thrones?
They're on like season six. And I'm like halfway through on those. And I really enjoy that show.
We started watching it.
I can't get into dragons and stuff. Mm-mm. No, not for me.
It's so much more about that, but I get it. Like, there's definitely a sci-fi.
It's got a lot of gratuitous nudity for you, though, right? A lot of that.
It definitely has that.
Yeah. Yeah, for
Although
sure.
It really tones down later you get. The first, like, two seasons is like a softcore porn half the time.
Yeah.
But then it really tones down the more famous the show got.
Yeah.
They really cut that out.
Somebody said we're going to knock off the boobies. Someone's complaining. You know, it's... But so you're in season 3 of Breaking Bad right now? How many were there? How many seasons?
No idea.
Are you like into it though now?
Yeah.
You're looking forward to watching the next episode? But you're watching it by yourself. Your wife's not watching it with you.
Yeah, if Julie falls asleep, I'll watch an episode.
Do you guys, have either one of you watched House of Cards?
We watched 2 episodes of that, didn't get into it.
I'm just surprised you haven't watched that.
That's a to-do list for me.
So that's a show that comes out in kind of this new way that they do it, where they put all 12 or 13 or 14 episodes out at once.
Yeah.
And it's going to be released, I think, maybe into this month, early next month. And I don't know if you guys would ever do this, but I'll watch that entire season in 3 nights, 2-3 nights.
Yeah, I don't do that.
I'll watch, start at 9. I'll watch till 2, you know, do it again the next night.
Well, it's because you don't have to wake up till noon
the
next day.
It's true. It has a lot to do with it.
My kid
I binge watch.
My kid has really just destroyed all nightly TV watching for us.
Yeah.
Just because it takes her so long to go to bed.
You guys, has she always had trouble sleeping?
Yeah, since day one.
I think people hate it when I say this shit, but I swore to. My bad. By far, like if you had to parent over again Cammy had some circumstances going on, so it's not quite fair. But I think a parent that focuses on sleep, like getting their kids sleep trained, is...
Yeah, ours was just beyond that because of the...
Crucial.
Foot deal.
Crucial, yeah. Yeah, that was a little different.
She was in a...
Uncomfortable.
Her leg was in a cast for...
Uncomfortable.
First 12 weeks of her life, or 20 weeks of her life, so she just was always pissed off.
Do your kids sleep well, Gray?
Yeah.
It makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I put them to bed 8:15, 8:30 every night, and they get up at 6:45.
And you yell at them. You say not a word from
you. Cammy's 2, and she goes to bed at 10 every night.
What time does she get up?
7:30.
So she's getting 9.5 hours of sleep. That's a good amount.
I have to. Like, to me, it's you have to have that time where you put the kids to sleep, then you can spend time with your wife. Otherwise, you would never spend time with your wife.
The crazy thing now is
my wife.
the crazy thing now is Duke is 8 months old. The amount of time those guys sleep, I mean, he goes to bed.
Who's Duke? Is that your dog?
He's my youngest son. Duke is 8 months old, and he goes to bed at roughly 6, and he'll sleep till 7, 13 hours.
That's a little uncommon, but that's fantastic.
It's glorious.
Have you guys been watching the NBA playoffs at all?
Yes.
Unfortunately, yeah.
How about Freddie? He's killing it, man.
What's your thought on that? I'm interested in a real sports take here. I'm going to let you guys run wild.
I love it. We can talk sports?
I have 2 theories.
Okay, what is happening in your perspective from that series?
I have 2 theories on it.
Bulls a lot better. Celtics a lot worse. Fred out coaching Stevens. What is happening in the series?
I think one of two – probably a combination of 2 things.
And Isaiah Thomas is the other X factor. Is he not in it?
I think objectively if his sister hadn't died – that really kind of set the tone in game one, and it was a weird game, emotions. But then it certainly didn't look like a fluke in game two. I've watched probably 50 of the Bulls' 82 games, and like it just, for the first time all year, they look like they care. They look engaged.
Oh, it's the playoffs.
Yeah, and I mean, you got D. Wade, who has been on the record talking about how he has to rest basically during the regular season to be – worth a crap come April.
Yeah.
You've got Rondo, who, you know, I mean, that guy has I don't care about the regular season written all over him. And then Jimmy Butler, we all knew how talented he was, but he's such a train wreck mentally half the time. They're all locked in for the first time. And it shows, And it makes a guy like Lopez better when you've got three guys like that or playing well.
Zipser?
I also think that
– Zipser? Is that his name?
I think the trading Taj Gibson really helped their spacing offensively. And I think – I mean, if you just have, like, spot-watched the Bulls, like when they're on TNT, it's hard to tell. If you've watched them
– where they never lose, apparently. Yeah,
if you've watched them all year long, like, their spacing's so much better now. And you know that Fred has something to do with that. So I give him some credit, too. He's coached really well, though, at these two games.
So I think,
and they've won 9 of 11, so it's not like all of a sudden they're just playing. They've been playing better for, like, the last month.
Have you seen the line? Are the Celtics favored in Chicago by a little bit?
No. The Bulls are favored by 2, I think.
Does that surprise you that it's still an 8-1? It's still an 8-1 matchup.
But the Bulls are better than them right now. I mean, they're the best player in the series. Yeah. I mean –
they have more experienced player with Rondo and Wade.
You just put Butler on Thomas in the fourth quarter?
Because he can get beat by – he can challenge a three-pointer, and if Thomas beats him, he can still come behind him and block his shots.
What about Lopez?
Lopez good.
Lopez looks like Shaq out there.
Looks like the Unabomber out there.
This is why, like, national media takes drive me crazy. What, 3 weeks ago, Fred Hoiberg was the worst coach?
Worst coach in the NBA.
So ESPN had him ranked.
Worst coach in the NBA. Yeah. And Brad Stevens was what, second, third?
Probably. I don't remember where he was, but he had to be top five.
Way up there.
So Fred's outcoached him.
You know, and it's two games, right? And there's something to be said about doing it over 82 games as well. But, I mean, there's no question Brad Stevens is a good coach, and there's no question that Fred Hoiberg is not. He's not – Brad Stevens isn't this guru that everyone says, and Fred Hoiberg isn't as shitty as everyone says. There's middle ground.
Did you see Jake Sullivan's tweets after the game the other night? They were really informative, I thought. I'm just paraphrasing what he said. That over the course of 82 games, the strength of a coach, like if you're good in the regular season, is a lot of it's managing egos and that type of deal and personalities, which – and Jake goes – Fred's probably not very good at that level. He goes, when you get into a 7-game series, a lot of it is game planning, X's and O's.
Yeah.
Because the Bulls, like, if you've watched, their defense has been phenomenal. They're getting more open looks on offense. Like, they've known what the Celtics were going to do in both of those games.
Yeah.
And Jake's point was, Fred's probably really good at that. Like, when it comes to just the preparation and whatnot.
And Rondo said so much after the game. Said Fred
absolutely.
Has done a great job.
That's my whole deal. Like it's crazy. And again, like I know we don't. A lot of our listeners probably aren't watching NBA from October until now. I don't a lot, but I follow the Bulls very closely. The thought that Rajon Rondo is saying that about Fred in January is absolutely batshit crazy. How far it's come.
Yeah.
Now again, they could.
Wasn't
still
Rondo
lose.
Always kind of on Fred's side though?
I don't know if I would say that. Rondo was anti-Butler and Wade. And Butler and Wade were perceived to be anti-Fred. So if you want to draw that conclusion, you can. But you got to realize that, like, a month or two ago, Rondo was barely playing. Fred had buried him on the bench because Fred was so tired of him. So I don't know about him personally, but his game. Like, he wasn't playing. And now it looks like they're gonna take his option for next year. Like, it's crazy, like, the switching of a situation. And I don't blame them. I mean, you can pay Rondo $13 million next year, or you go on and you would get, like, a Drew Holiday for $20, $22 million. Like, I'd take Rondo, too, at this point.
One thing people forget about Fred, because, I mean, you look at his overall record at Iowa State, and you wouldn't say that he had a lot of success in the tournament, but he really – Iowa State's teams were always better at the end of the year. He won 2 Big 12 titles. Tournament titles, right? First year against UConn, Iowa State wasn't supposed to win that game. They were the underdog. They kicked the crap out of UConn, and they played Kentucky about as good as any team had. Next year, they kicked the crap out of Notre Dame. They were underdogs in that game, and they would have, should have beat Ohio State if not for Babb getting hurt and the terrible charge call.
Yeah.
The only time that he really – and then obviously the Niang injury. The only time where he failed as a coach in the postseason – was the UAB game, and they just got done winning the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah.
So I think there's something to be said about it. At the end of the year, come playoff time, that's when he shines as a coach.
I agree. I agree. And, it's interesting, too, as a Bulls fan, because I'm a Bulls fan. They're not going to win a championship this year, clearly.
They could make the finals though. The Eastern Conference Finals.
And if they get there, I mean, they're 4-0 against the Cavs this year. Like, who knows? But
they wouldn't beat the Cavs.
I don't think they would either. But I'm looking out for like more like Fred's future in the league. And the Bulls are in such a weird spot because Wade and Rondo are so old, and Butler could be a free agent in 2 years. And so it's like, what do you do this offseason? Do you, you know, delay the inevitable and pick up the, you know, Wade has a player's option. Rondo, there's a team option. But it's like, do you bring them both back with Butler and then go get like Carmelo? And, you know, do you do something like that, or do you trade Butler because he's at an all-time high with his value and start rebuilding? Like, I don't know what's better for Fred's future in the league. Like, I don't know.
I don't know either.
They're in a terrible spot. Like, neither one of those scenarios are they going to turn into a contender.
Well, at what point are they going to put the team around Fred that
works for him? That's what I'm saying.
They need shooters. They don't have shooters.
Butler's
a pretty good shooter so far.
Yeah, I mean.
Go with me here a second.
Okay.
I think part of the confusion of this series, and I felt this way the entire time, because this is an 8-1 that has not felt like an 8-1.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't look like it.
And part of that is, and this is not, it takes nothing away from Fred, nothing away from the Bulls. They played great. They should have won those games. But when you look at the standings, Celtics finished with 53 wins. Then you have the Cavs at 51, the Raptors at 51, and the Wizards at 49. So there's not a lot separating the Celtics from being a 4 seed. And they're playing like one. It's part of the shock is that it's 8-1, but maybe the Celtics aren't a true one. The Cavs should have been if they didn't suck.
That and I think they're
not a true one. They don't have a superstar.
No. And the Bulls' talent's probably better than an 8 talent.
Yeah. Absolutely, 100%.
So I don't know. This could as well be a 4-5, you know. If the Bulls hadn't if those guys had cared earlier in the year, they could easily be a 5.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll tell you this. It's been a maddening year for a Bulls fan. If you're a Bulls fan who has allegiance to Fred Hoiberg like I do, you've just wanted to pull your hair out with this team.
And what's ironic is the Bulls, I mean, the Bulls could go fairly far the way they're playing right now. They squeaked into the playoffs. I mean, you talk about them not caring in the regular season. Maybe the regular season's too long, and then they get in the playoffs and turn it on. Well, they barely had a chance to turn it on. I mean, they finished tied with the Heat at 41 wins. They could have not even made the playoffs. So I think I understand them wanting to maybe not be fully engaged and not turn it on, but they were close to screwing it up royally and not even getting a chance.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's really weird. I think they'll close out the Celtics.
Well, based on what we've seen so far, yeah.
I hope so, man.
I think they will. And, I mean, who do they have next? Washington?
Like, I don't know how they'd play next. Yeah. Washington's dangerous, though.
Yeah, John Wall's so good.
He's fast. But you know what? That's they can beat him.
But again, that's not a bad matchup for the Bulls.
The Bulls play better against good teams.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
the against the
maddening
Cavs.
Thing about this team. It's like they'll lose to the Nets, and then they beat the Cavs like 2 nights later. And it just drives you crazy.
And one thing, too, about the Celtics is you think, like, do they have a true center in the sense that if they play Washington next, Washington has Gortat.
Yeah, that's...
You know, Gortat against Lopez.
Lopez has just been killing the Celtics.
Yeah. I don't think they have that same effect next series if, in fact, they faced Washington. I think Washington is much better inside and has Beal and...
We saw Washington when Bloom and
Wall.
I...
Yeah, John Wall.
When Bloom and I went down to Orlando for the tournament, Bloom got us... You know, he used to work at the Magic, and he got us really good seats. When Washington was in town, it was John Wall's first game back from injury. And watching him play in person was really special.
Yeah.
Like, he is incredibly gifted.
Well, super fast, and he's 6'4".
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big point guard. Thick. Yeah.
He's so good.
Yep.
So I look forward to – I hope they play them because I just like watching him play.
So who is your guys' take to win it all right now, based on what you've seen? We've seen a few games from every team. Warriors, you think?
I don't think anyone can play at the Warriors.
Really?
No. Durant, you put Durant healthy on that team?
I hope LeBron beats him, but my pick would be the Warriors.
You don't think?
If the Warriors lose with Kevin Durant on that team, that'd be horrible. They have no business losing to anybody.
I mean, you could never count out the Spurs because the Spurs are the Spurs. They're always good. But I think when you look at the West, the most dangerous team there against the Warriors is the Rockets because everybody can score. And those are going to be high-scoring games
yeah.
for sure. The East, I mean, it's LeBron or nobody.
Correct.
I mean, that's what's going to happen. So is it going to be a rematch, Warriors-Cavs final?
I hope. I hope that's the case.
Yes, and they win it in five games this year.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Warriors do?
Yeah.
I'll be rooting for LeBron, but I agree with Adam.
They don't have a bench like they did last year, but it doesn't – I mean, you put – see, if Kevin Durant was on Oklahoma City this year, they'd be the best team in the NBA.
Well, the way Westbrook's playing.
I mean, they that's why I was so mad when he left, because they would have set up for a fantastic playoffs. But you put him with Clay and Steph, and then I hate Draymond, but he's good.
Dude's good, man.
He's good.
I know you hate him.
No, I hate him. Least favorite player in the NBA. But, I mean, yeah.
He's a complete basketball player, though. That,
especially after what happened last year, I think they'd mop through. And Cleveland hasn't been very good. Cleveland hasn't been good
even against the
in two
Pacers,
months.
It's like,
no, they should have lost at least one of those
I agree
games.
With
they
you.
They could have lost both.
Yeah. Draymond, having watched a lot of Draymond, Draymond does suck in that he bitches about every call.
Oh, he's just – he never
stops.
Every
call. It's like, shut up, Draymond. That, like, the refs don't change calls because you're in their face telling them that they suck. It just doesn't work that way.
I thought about buying one of the – how's that for data shirts? Have you seen those?
Yeah, for the Memphis coach?
Memphis made shirts.
That coach is so right. I love him.
How's that for data?
I text Bloom and I said that coach and me should become best friends.
What's his name? Fizdale?
I don't even know.
Memphis's coach, David Fizdale?
It was so great.
It was awesome.
One of the great sports moments of the year.
He's not wrong.
I didn't see the game. I have no idea. But
did you see you got fined $30,000?
Worth it.
What did you think, being a Lakers fan back in the day? Remember the Kings series?
Yeah.
Where you guys just totally dropped them?
I thought they were all about the Kings, and then luckily the refs switched it over to the good guys.
That was the one I –
That was bad.
There's been a couple sporting events in my life where I can like cognizantly remember thinking like a game was rigged, and that Kings game was the one. That was like the first one in my life where I'm like, something shady's going on here. There's absolutely no way that game wasn't rigged.
I have no comment.
That and the outfield fly.
Oh, gosh.
That was the Braves, right?
We don't need to get into that.
The outfield fly of 2012 or 13. Chipper's last game was the outfield fly.
I'm reading
I've never seen you so angry, ever.
Oh, man.
You threw a tantrum. More than Robert Gray's tantrum at Sy's House of Trivia.
Yeah. I've told the story a million times. Like, my wife, I think, considered divorcing me that night. I was so out of line. And then I just kept drinking.
That's what any sane person would do. You don't want to stop, then you want to keep going.
And we got in this huge fight. She was calling me immature.
You were taking on the Finleys on Twitter.
I was going to war with Bill Finley on Twitter.
I've got the audio.
I was burning every bridge that I could find.
Here, I gotta play this audio for you.
What is it?
Take that.
Take that for data.
It's awesome.
Slams his fist down.
I thought you were gonna find
take
the
that for data.
I thought you were finding the outfield fly play by play.
No, that was Chipper's last game.
Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah. Because it's cool.
The ball landed on the warning track, and it was an infield fly.
That was a pretty bad call. I do remember that.
Oh, jeez.
And then I remember, like, I finally calmed down, like, 5-6 days later, and KXNO had that show where the umpires were on it, you know?
Yeah.
And Tim McClellan had the audacity to go on there and say it was the right call. Because I remember Joe Quinn. Do you remember Joe Quinn? He used to work at KXNO. I remember him telling me this. And, like, I like, wanted to call into that show and get in a fight with Tim McClellan. And I'm like, no, you can't do this. Like,
oh, my God, I'm watching it. What a horrible call, dude.
You're watching it now?
And they called it late, by the way. They didn't even.
Well, yeah.
Look how. Here, I'll rewind it. Look how
don't do this to him.
Look how deep this guy is into the outfield, dude.
Look at this. This is unbelievable.
This is short left.
It's unbelievable.
That is wow.
How bad that. Look at him. Look at Ugla. He has no idea.
Bases loaded, one out. Braves are winning that game.
Unfreaking believable. And then the audacity of all
Terry
those
Pendleton
douchebag Cardinal fans to be like, oh, they're classless. They're throwing stuff out onto the floor. Of course they are.
I mean, an infield fly rule, as I understand it, one should be on the infield. or in the vicinity of the infield.
You can go a little off the infield.
And two, you can't have your back to the infield and call that. You got to be facing the infield, and it's got to be a pretty routine catch. And that was none of those things.
This is how classy Chipper is. So I'm reading his book. It just came out like last week. And his first, like the foreword, that's how he starts. He's writing about that game.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even mention it. He doesn't even mention the outfield fly. He mentions that he had the throwing error in the fifth inning.
He did.
That gave the Cardinals like three runs. It ended up giving them three runs. And he's just writing about like, you know, I had this great career and failure is all I can think about, because like he still thinks about it to this day.
So you have this book?
Yeah.
Can I get it when you're done?
If you give it back. You still haven't given me back my Hank Haney book.
I'm sorry.
Does it come soaked in Chipper's urine? He was known for those shenanigans.
He peed on other people.
No, he got peed on by Greg Maddux.
No, but he peed on people too. Like Alou did. Like Alou used to pee on his hands and stuff.
Dude,
that's so weird.
Chipper's
he admitted about the like affair, getting another girl pregnant, right, in his book?
I haven't gotten to there yet.
Nope, spoiler alert.
Spoiler.
Sorry, I heard it on the radio. That's why.
Now I'm at a point where he's at some like really small rural school in Florida, and his parents encourage him to go to this like private school because it enhances school and more importantly baseball future.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating because I didn't know this, but like, so he goes to this private school for his sophomore, junior, and senior years, where he's playing against all of his best buddies, and his dad is coaching for the other team against him all the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really good stuff.
And he's just ripping bombs?
Well, yeah, they always beat him in baseball, but like they actually lost. His dad was like the offensive coordinator for the football team, and it's really good stuff.
Did Chipper Jones lose the Rookie of the Year to Hideo Nomo?
Yeah, I want to say he did.
The biggest travesty in sports.
Well, I remember Nomo won it, and I don't think Chipper did. Because the Dodgers – I want to say the Dodgers rattled off like four or five straight Rookie of the Years. It was like Piazza, Nomo.
I think you're right.
Shoot, who else was it? They – like Eric Karros. They had a ton of those guys.
None of them are as good as Chipper.
No, Chipper's the greatest player of all time. Now, there's better baseball players. There's no better ball player. That makes sense.
That dude could rake.
God, he was good. And you forget that he played shortstop, third base. He played in the outfield. DH'd.
This has turned into the Chipper Jones.
Between 1996 and
he's my favorite athlete of all time. There's nobody else even comes close for me.
Is he the greatest third baseman of all time?
Chipper?
No.
Chipper Jones?
Name one better.
Chris Bryant. He will be. Dude, there's no way in hell anybody's going to say that Chris Bryant wasn't as good as Chipper Jones.
Do you want to hear what he said last year? When there was talk about Schwarber being traded from the Cubs, he goes, "You can't trade him. He will lead the league in home runs for 10 straight years, hitting over 50 home runs every year." That's what he said.
No, I didn't say
he's 50. Got two so far this year.
I didn't say 50, but what
what
I did say,
all delusion, Mark.
What I did say when no one was saying it, and this proved to be true, was that when all the talk about we're going to get Chapman and we're going to have to get rid of some young talent for him and stuff, I was saying the entire time Schwarber is untouchable. The Cubs will not deal him. And you guys, you idiots, were saying, he's better as a DH in the American League. He's going
probably
over
is.
And then it came out, though, guess what? He's untouchable. Cubs weren't even considering trading the guy. And yes, he will hit a crap load of bombs. I like that you're judging his numbers off of 1 week of baseball. Basically.
1 week? We're coming on a month almost here.
A month? They don't even have 15 games in yet.
I classify him as a bust.
What's
Cubbies won on a walk-off yesterday. Boom.
So Chipper Jones batted .303 for his career, 468 home runs in only 2,499 games.
I think Brooks Robinson is generally considered one of the best third basemen of all time.
George Brett has to.
George Brett's good, but he's no chance.
No power numbers like that.
Okay,
though.
ESPN actually did this.
I like to see
top
this.
10 third basemen of all time. This is ESPN written in 2016.
Okay, so it's recent.
Ron Santo, number 10.
Who?
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently, he played for the White Sox.
Jeez.
Edgar Martinez,
he can
number 9.
It, but he's more of a DH.
Yeah, I think of him as a DH as well. Adrian Beltre.
Yep, he's had a nice
number
career.
8. Paul Molitor.
Why do I think of him as a first baseman?
I think of him as a first baseman because he played for the Blue Jays against the Phillies.
Yeah, I don't think of him as third
at
all.
The,
Wade Boggs on the same list.
He won that championship with Toronto in 93.
Wade Boggs, no power, but great hitter.
Yeah, yep. Wade Boggs, number six.
3,000 hits.
Brooks Robinson, number five. Chipper Jones.
Oh, just disgraceful. Fourth?
Number four.
Jeez.
Chippa Jones.
8-time All-Star.
Eddie Matthews.
Eddie Matthews. George Brett at two. And Mike Schmidt.
Schmidt. I'll give him Schmidt.
Schmitty.
Go up to George Brett stats here.
548 homers for Schmitty.
Brett had, 305 to Chipper's.
303.
Brett had...
those numbers.
3,000.
He didn't have 3,000.
Mike Schmidt.
Four home runs.
Mike Schmidt led the league in homers 8 times. 9 gold gloves.
Chipper had, 400 fewer home runs than George Brett.
What? He did not have 400 fewer.
No, George Brett
wait a second.
George Brett had 317 homers.
That's hits. Okay. Yeah, 468.
I was going to say.
317 homers for George Brett.
What was the on-base percentage? Because that's what really matters.
For George Brett?
Yeah, for both of them.
857 for Brett.
369, I thought it said.
Chipper had more RBIs.
Chipper's on-base percentage is higher. 401.
Oh, 487.
What in the hell are we even discussing this for?
I don't know.
This is Chipper for sure.
Clearly better.
I mean, I know people love the
Chipper Jones
because he ran out of the dugout with the pine tar and everyone.
Dude,
that was an iconic
one. Friend of the program, Kim Poland, you know?
I know Kim, yeah.
So Kim's nephew, Reagan, is a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And you guys want to do a great pod sometime. He lives here in Des Moines. We should get him on to tell his George Brett story. He hates George Brett.
Ooh.
So much so, he went, and his dad does too, because his dad was there. Reagan was a little kid, was a Royals fan. They were playing the Yankees when they go down to Kauffman Stadium. George Brett was such a dick to him as a little kid. Reagan is a diehard Yankees fan now because of that single day.
Because of the one incident.
Because of how horrible George Brett was to him.
I love it.
Well, George Brett he's a douche. He is.
I think he's known for that, right?
Yeah, but that kind of makes him a little bit more lovable too, doesn't it?
The Royals fans love him,
I mean,
for the most part.
I was at his retirement party in a coffin.
In his basement?
No, in a coffin. They drove around the field.
We used to go down when Brett and Bo Jackson played. We would go down there all the time.
You saw Bo play, huh?
Oh, I saw Bo play a ton of times. My favorite moment of that era, I was at a game where A-Rod, Griffey, and Jay Buhner hit back-to-back-to-back
boom
for the Mariners against the Royals one day.
Was Ken Griffey Jr. baseball the greatest baseball game of all time?
Yeah.
The answer's yes.
Did you ever wait? I don't know why I remember this.
The answer's yes.
If you waited 5 minutes and didn't do anything, where the pitcher's just holding the ball, the umpire in that game would turn around and knock on your TV. He'd go, hey, play the game, kid.
Really?
Yeah. If you still have it lying around.
Don't remember that one. Bo Jackson could have been, should have been, would have been one of the best players ever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty good.
We're talking third baseman here, okay?
Yeah, but Bo could have played third.
Bo could do it all.
Chipper Jones?
Bo could really do it all. One of the freakiest athletes.
Is Chipper
ever.
Your favorite athlete of all time?
Athlete? No.
Yeah, overall athlete
no,
of all
no,
time.
No.
He's mine. It's not close.
No, I mean, my top three is...
After Niang, of course.
My top three professional athletes are Favre, Kobe, and Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods?
I used to love watching Tiger Woods. Any small tournament, I would sit. I'd be glued to my TV and watch every one of his shots. I love Tiger.
Are you prepared to never see him win again?
Yeah, and it hurts. It hurts.
I don't see him winning again.
Yeah, no, probably not.
Who's your favorite athlete of all time, Mark?
Favorite baseball player, Greg Maddux, and then Chipper.
Yeah, I love Mad Dog. I love Mad Dog. I probably
pitcher.
Yeah, being a Cubs fan, I mean, I always loved Rhino. Ryan Sandberg was a favorite of mine growing up. I liked him a lot.
I don't know. There's something about, for me.
Bears, I like Neil Anderson. Remember Neil Anderson, the running back?
Baseball's not even close to my favorite sport, but when I think of favorite athletes, a lot of baseball players are popping up.
It's because, football, they're always wearing masks, right?
Yeah, and baseball, when you're a kid, you have summers off, so you watch more of their games.
I love Terry Pendleton back in the day.
Baseball gets ripped a lot.
See, I liked Dave Justice a lot. Dave Justice and the Crime Dog.
He beat Halle Berry.
What do you mean he beat her?
He physically abused her.
I'm saying back in the day, I liked him a lot. Okay,
before the abuse.
I went to a game and
Crime Dog was probably
game-winning single from David Justice at Atlanta Stadium. Yeah, Tom Glavine hit a home run that day too.
I loved Andrew Jones too. Yeah. In the day,
he was so good early in his career.
Andrew Jones.
And then he got fat and out of shape and wasn't very good anymore.
Andrew Jones, I don't know if he still holds the record, but he was the youngest guy to ever homer in the World Series.
Did it twice. They blew the series. They're up 2-0, I believe.
Baseball fact for you here. So Dansby Swanson just hit the first walk-off in the new Braves Stadium in SunTrust the other night. The first walk-off in the history of Turner Field went to Andrew Jones.
You know who – so let me test your Braves trivia. He might be the last one to do this. I don't know, but I know he did it for a fact. This would have been in the 80s for the Braves.
Okay.
Name the Brave that – and there was a home. It was at Fulton County Stadium.
Yep.
Who hit 4 home runs for the Braves in one game.
Was it
– who would that have been?
Jeff Blauser.
No, I can see his jersey.
I hated that name.
I can
dude.
See his – Jeff Blauser. I can see his jersey right now. They still sell it. O'Neill? No. Nope. No.
He was kind of a chubby white dude.
It wasn't Psycho Sid Bream.
Babe Ruth.
Not Sid Bream.
I didn't start watching him until the early 90s.
Bob Horner.
Yeah, I would have.
Bob was a first baseman for them.
Absolutely never
kind
guessed
of a fat power hitter.
Remember Eric Bleepin Hinsky?
Yes.
God.
Where did the bleep,
so
where did the bleep
come
from? Who's your least favorite Brave? I have a feeling I know who you're going to say.
What the hell was that guy's name?
Brooks Conrad.
Brooks Conrad. Brooks bleeping Conrad was so effing terrible. God.
Look at this guy. Look at those unis. That's Bob Horner, dude. He was the guy you could root for. Bob Horner was a guy that you knew was cracking beers like during the game back in the clubhouse.
He looks like Charlie Hoffman from golf. You know Charlie Hoffman?
Oh, yeah.
Brooks freaking Conrad.
Is Charlie Hoffman the guy that wears green gloves?
Probably.
Green golf gloves.
He's the one that had the blonde mullet for a while. He's cut his hair since.
Did you like Andre the Hawk Dawson?
Oh, loved him. When I hit one over the fence at Wrigley Field, I hit it over a true link fence. That's what he said.
Did he say that?
Yeah. The 87 season sticks out because the Cubs sucked. They were in last place, but he won the MVP that year.
God.
And he hit 49 home runs for a last place team. And won the MVP.
I had a couple.
But he was, and that was also the year there was a big brawl. Eric Schau for the Padres hit him in the face with the ball. You've probably seen this if you didn't see it at the time.
I forget how old Charter is.
Yeah, and Hawk charged the mound like Dawson's bleeding and stuff. And Eric Schau was famous. If you ever collected baseball cards, here's why you would know that name. He shared. Remember how they had the side by side. Cards sometimes, baseball cards.
Yeah.
So Fleer had a horizontal card, vertically horizontal. It was Jose Canseco. It was his rookie card and Eric Schau were on the same card. And that's back when cards were worth something.
Yeah, it's crazy how that market's just dropped off.
Canseco cards were –
he'll pick it back up.
Like, remember King Griffey Jr.? Like, his rookie card was like $100 or something back when I was growing up. Now it'd be worth like a dollar, maybe.
No, it's worth more than that.
Probably not, dude.
Who buys them?
I don't know. I don't know anybody that collects
cards. Your boys,
cards.
Are they interested in it?
No, they're not. But I have a friend whose dad collects them and collected them, and he's got, I think it's been valued at serious money. They have a whole room in their house dedicated to all these cards.
So we do that with
serious money.
Don't laugh, but my dad and my uncle and I, like, we combine and we have race cars, like model. You've seen it in our basement, right?
Will you please buy mine? I have some in my basement that I think are worth a lot of money. Just give me like $12,000 and we'll call it even. You could probably make a profit on it.
Don't even look at them. He'll just bring them over in a box.
Ain't happening.
Write him a check.
I'll take them off of your hands, but I'm not buying them from you. I don't have room for them.
Where can I go to sell these? I need to know where to sell them.
Speaking of old cards, look at this sweet one. Fleer.
Online.
Count them. 4 homers in one game. He got his own baseball card in one of the Fleer sets. Horner.
What kind of cars are they?
These are like from like late 80s, early 90s, like original Dale Earnhardt cars and like the toy cars.
So those are worth something.
They're still in packaging.
That's the key.
You never even opened them?
They're not mine. Julie's dad collected them and then he passed away.
The packaging is key. They have to be in their packaging.
Yeah, they're in their packaging. They're just sitting in my basement just collecting dust.
Well, maybe we could work something out.
Do you get that? People that collect stuff.
You sell it, I'll split the profits with you.
No.
50-50.
Absolutely not.
That's a good – I'm offering you free money.
He ain't going to be your bitch.
I ain't going to be your bitch.
You need to start becoming my bitch here a little bit. Come on. Let's make some money.
Let's make some money.
You know, right. You want
to
do it.
We're at 52 minutes. We need to wrap this up. Does anybody have any parting thoughts?
I don't think we offended anybody today, which is good. Like I was very nervous about
Adam's,
coming on the
podcast. Adam's, I think, feeling really insecure about coming on the podcast.
Yeah,
I
don't know if I want to do it anymore because every time I do it, I get a text
or
a call.
Your conversation about porn a few weeks ago really stirred some things up.
Why you bring this stuff up? Seriously, why do you do it?
Was I even talking about?
Well, and then I made the comment about somebody's girlfriend, and that got everybody fired up.
What did I say?
I'm thinking maybe we just need to close down shop.
What did I say about porn that was offensive other than the word porn?
We don't need it. I'm not getting there. I'm not going there. I don't even know why.
Did Julie listen? Did she get upset?
Did Julie? No, Julie does not listen.
I don't think anybody got upset. I just think there were a lot of comments.
More times than
none to me.
Charter gets me in trouble in some ways. I get a call or text from a buddy saying, hey, what the hell's going on? I say, blame Charter.
I don't think I said
whose girlfriend got mad at me?
No, we're not doing this. No.
What
stop
did I say?
It. Stop.
Quit stirring the pot.
God, you're such an a-hole.
Quit stirring the pot. But yeah, let's just wrap up.
Guys, have a wrap up.
Yeah.
See you. Have a great weekend.